been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. Another historic Ravens-Steelers game is in the books. The losing streak is over. The Ravens finally have beaten the Pittsburgh Steelers. First time in five games. They're now 1-4 in the last five. So that's pretty good. But wow, what an injury-laden game. A lot of players that we didn't really think we were going to be seeing, we saw on Sunday. Joining me to talk all about it, I knew he'd be here on this show, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm great. After a big, huge win against the rival, I'm loving it, especially since I was 1 point off of my prediction.
1 point off.
I said 16-13 Ravens, 16-14.
See, you could do mobile betting now here in Maryland. You should have put some money on the game. You would have been
that close. Speaking of that, I am 0-1 and I'm done. I'm retiring. I placed my first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook on Monday Night Football. Guess what happened? Yeah, I lost, obviously. And it was a great bet. I did a parlay. Uh-huh. I did a $10 bet to win $116. Easy. I was like, all right, great. Had to hit five things or six things on the parlay. The parlay was pretty good. Two of those things involved injured players. Didn't happen. Kyler Murray got hurt, second play in the game?
Yeah, third, I think.
Parlay, and I had Ramondre Stevenson in and out of the game and obviously out. So, yeah, that sucked for me, and I probably won't bet for a while because I'm just like, really? It just seems like every time. But, yeah, it was fun. You know, it was the fantasy playoffs regular season finale. Had some fireworks, but all in all, made the playoffs in 4 out of 7 leagues. So, fantasy playoffs are upon us, and – it was a great week 14, including a Ravens win over the Steelers. And like you mentioned, a lot of injuries, man. I mean, it was a slobber knocker. People were hitting. It was that divisional speed. Glad the players are okay. But, man, it was wicked. You know, it reminded me of that. Look, it wasn't for all the marbles, 2008 AFC Championship game was. But that game reminded me. I mean, look, remember Melissa McGahee and Ryan Clark at collisions. And there was a lot of hard-hitting in those rivals, and you had this feel no matter what. I told you, no matter what the records are, no matter what's on the line, these two teams just like beating the crap out of each other, don't they? And it showed. I mean, there were some haymakers thrown, and you had to feel great. Ravens got out to a 10-0 lead and up 16-7 late. You had a 10 and a 9-point lead, respectively, and obviously Steelers went down the field and made the most of it, you know, trying to, pull it out. But what's all said and done, Ravens did plenty to win the game, and it was just great to see at the end victory formation and coming out of 2-minute warning. So breaking it all down, man, it was twofold. Recipe for success, my friend. Running the football and defense, getting back to the Ravens' roots. You love to see it a little bit, don't you?
It is something that you really do want to see, especially with a game like the Ravens and the Steelers. This was nice to see because when one player goes down and the star player at that, Lamar Jackson, goes down, it was nice to see that the team just didn't fold up. It didn't just go away. It kind of proved that the team is more than just one guy. And what a showing by J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards. Finally, those two guys on the same field at the same time, being able to be a duo and like just seeing that from them, what an impact they just made immediately. That was so great to see. And then, like you said, the defense looked really good. I do have some problems with our secondary, especially Marcus Peters and Marlon Humphrey. I think that was maybe Marlon Humphrey's worst game of the season yet, but the defense overall really showed up, and the pass rush looked good. They were getting in there. They were doing their thing. And I got to give it also to our newest Raven, Mitch Trubisky. He loved to throw to the Ravens. That really worked out for us.
It sure did, man. And you had to feel a little bit worried. You know, some fans were, you know, chirping at me a little bit, right? And I had some worries too. You know, Kenny Pickett gets knocked out. They weren't doing anything offense. And then Mr. Trubisky comes in, they were moving the ball. But once they got down to where it mattered, Ravens slammed the door shut on them, three turnovers. I was really impressed overall to see the impact of the defense stepping up, man. They bent a little bit, as you said, with the secondary being a little weak. They're the weak spot on the defense, especially this game, but they did not break. Yeah, they let up, you know, two touchdowns, and I don't really feel like the game was in jeopardy, especially as the game went on, because the defense, they had it. You know, they had their number, and like you said, a lot of key players for the Ravens came back and made an immediate impact. What was a key subtraction was Kevin Zeitler was out for the game, but enter Ronnie Stanley. So still playing, shuffling on the line. Dude, Ben Powers is continuing to show force. He had a great game. Tyre Linderbaum, these guys were opening up holes.
Yeah.
Like, seeing the holes that JK and Gus had to run through, bro. Dude, paying homage to the one of the late greats of the Steelers, right? Gus, you know, you saw Gus the Bus Edwards, and then you had Jerome the Bus Bettis, who played for the Steelers and contributed great to the rivalry over those years, Hall of Famers and right. We miss those things, right? Those impact players. And, you know, knowing that with the Ravens scheme that coming into this game, I just enjoyed watching the running game just flourish with the line. So, again, was a little worried with big Kevin Z out. But, you know, again, having both JK and Gus, like you alluded to, healthy for the first time together on the field, you know, balling out, Ronnie Stanley back, you know, and hey, on the defense, Marcus Williams back. Look what he does. First game back, picking up where he left off. Interception. Love it, man. I couldn't say enough. And I tell you what, you want to stick on the defensive side of the ball, Roquan Smith, bro. We talked about it a lot. He was the key to opening up a lot of folks on the defense, including Patrick Queen, who also got an interception. You know, the linebacking core, you know, Smith and Queen both got an interception. Marcus Williams got the other one on the back end. It was great to see the contributing Ravens force three turnovers. They didn't turn the ball over themselves. See, that's a recipe, right? You controlled the running game, controlled the clock with time possession. You ran for over 200 yards as a team rushing. You get three turnovers on defense, don't commit any on offense, and you win the game by two. It's just old school Ravens football. I can't say enough how this recipe going forward might be the key, because the Ravens passing game is really, really the biggest weakness on this team. It almost like it doesn't matter who's under center, because look, it's not a secret no more, and we talked about it. The harsh reality is, you know, yes, the team's probably better suited with Lamar Jackson right now, quarterback, but how much of a game changer is it? Because we talked about it, and I don't want to beat a dead horse here on the show, man, but dude, after week three, he's falling off the map, not passing the ball, you know, one game with multiple passing touchdowns since week three, you know, what gives? And, you know, I want to talk about that because it was brought up on the NFL Live show about the Ravens passing balls, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But just looking at, you know, the Ravens, you know, they kind of weren't afraid. They walked right into Steelers' house. They got the ball and went right down the field and punched them in the mouth. JK was running. Gus was running. And you had to feel, and before the injury to Huntley, he was making some throws. You know, how about D-Jax on the sidelines making a few plays? And by the way, speaking of that, as obviously we know the end result with the win, the key players that didn't get a win, they were looking for that first win with the Ravens against the Steelers. Calais Campbell didn't taste victory yet, got his first win against the Steelers. Remember Roquan this week chirping?
Right.
You know, you're not a Raven until you beat the Steelers, right? You earned the stripes. You know, he got his first win as a Raven. You know, Patrick Queen's in the mix. You know, a lot of these folks got that sweet taste of victory, and you know, the antics on the sideline showed it, man. Did you see those guys kind of mocking the Steelers fans when Renegade was playing with the towel throwing on the sidelines and they were getting into it? There's the energy we're talking about that was missing. Like, where is that? Yes, and it's all fun and dandy where you're going into your big rival's house and you're winning and all, and it's all good, it's all gravy, right? But you know, that's the stuff that we need. You know, yeah, the passing game's a liability. Yeah, Marlon Humphrey was very, very, he was very, what's the words I'm looking for? he basically owned up to it, right? Had one of his worst games. You know, Marcus Peters continues to, you know, be a liability more than an asset out there. But look, you know, what's done is done, and the Ravens did the damage on the ground, man. 200 yards, 120 for J.K. J.K. averaged 8 yards a carry. Wouldn't need you to say more yet. Eight yards carry, 120 and a touch. Gus Edwards added another 50, 60 yards on the ground, 66 to be exact. Huntley ran it for 30 himself. So, you had to feel good what you saw with the running scheme. And dude, that's the bread and butter. And when Gus and J.K. are healthy as they are, dude, this is their success. The sky's the limit. Run, pass to manage the game, move the chains, but run the ball and play defense like they do. I'm telling you what, they do that. They can be in any game, no matter who's playing. I don't even care if it's the Chiefs or Bills that are lining up in the AFC. Maybe the Bengals again coming at the end of the year. I feel like, yeah, they're probably one of the weaker teams in AFC, even though their record at 9-4 and they're the third seed still AFC North leader with four games to go. But you have to feel good about it, man. I mean, do you feel still good, or do you feel like, you know, they're going to get bounced in the first round of playoffs at this point with 4 weeks left? The makeup of the team as it stands now, what are your feelings on them? Are you excited? Are you a little bit more skeptical because they do have more maybe flaws than they do strengths at this point?
I think they have the ability to go far in the playoffs. However, I am still cautious about getting excited for the playoffs. I think it might be a one and done because this is a very tough brand of football. You know, you watch them, what they just did with this Steelers team. Is this team durable enough to play the next 4 weeks the same way? These are tough games in the trenches. Like, can J.K. Dobbins make his way all the way through? We haven't seen Lamar Jackson in 2 weeks. So, I mean, are we going to get Lamar Jackson back? There's so many questions. This secondary, you get somebody who can throw the ball, like Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes, and they can throw the ball and get the ball off, then our secondary is just going to fall apart. So, I think that the Ravens do have the skill to do it. They have addressed a lot of issues on the O-line in the pass rush, and I'm already thinking if Lamar Jackson were to leave, Roquan Smith is the next name I get on my back on a jersey. But of course, I'd like to see him sign long term first. But I think that was a great pickup, just the way he plays. So I'm skeptical. I'm not sold that they can. They are durable enough to do this. His team's got a lot of age on them. You know, you do have Calais Campbell, who is a veteran in this league. Can he last this entire season? Can he continue to play the way he is? I don't know. Hopefully, I would love that. Because like you said, this is hard-nosed, smash-mouth, in-the-trenches type of football. And that's the kind of, you think of football, this is what you want to see. I don't need 40 points put up on the scoreboard every single game. I need wins. I need W's. That's all I need. So if they get the W by a 13-10 score, cool. It's a win. I think they can do it. Whether they will or not is still up in the air. I'm excited to see what they do the next couple weeks. Luckily, you do have these are all divisional games except for the Falcons. But this is going to be tough. This is a second string quarterback, a backup quarterback under at QB1 right now. You had the third string guy play in the game as well. But the team was able to adapt. The tight ends, the wide receivers always have been a concern with the Ravens, but the one target that they were always going to, Mark Andrews, he was being double teamed pretty much the entire game. So they forced this team to run the ball. The good news is for the Ravens that even though the Steelers forced them to run the ball, it was obviously the coach's call to make the Ravens run the ball. The Ravens did it successfully, and the O-line made those holes. I need to see this team get through it. You know, this is tough. This is a really hard way of playing football. Ronnie Stanley, you know, he's got two bad ankles. Can he withstand this kind of hard-nosed football for 4 weeks to even get into the playoffs to play another four games or so? So I'm excited to see it. It's not like I'm turning the Ravens game off and throwing my hands in the air and saying, oh, this is it. We're not doing this anymore. I don't know. I just think that this is going to be a team. It's going to be fun to watch. It's must watch TV because it's so unpredictable right now. And I kind of dig it, but, this is not the Ravens team we're planning to watch, but we're still doing it. I think I know that they're at least going to get into the playoffs. I'm confident enough to say the playoffs are a thing that's going to happen. But I'm so worried of who we're actually going to see on the field. That's my biggest concern right now.
I can understand your concerns. You're right, because it's just certainly not last year where just the Ravens had like over 20 guys in IR and you didn't see them all year. Yeah, it's been a revolving door of folks in and out 4 to 6 weeks. Some folks are out for the year. Obviously, Rashad Bateman is one of those guys. You see Marcus Williams get hurt early in the year. Now he's back later in the year. J.K. Dobbins, the same thing. Came back off the knee injury, then went back out with the procedure, came back and had 120 on the ground and a touch. As we know it on Sunday, Gus finally getting back, and you're seeing these guys get back, and that's good, right? You want your team to keep winning. And then you also want these guys to get back and they're getting healthier. So winning and healthier as you're getting into December football, heading into January, pretty good on paper, right? You alluded to something before with the scores and just winning games. I literally said this on the socials after the Ravens win. They don't ask how, they ask how many, right? Well, just on Sunday, I had to watch a last minute highlight. The Dallas Cowboys played the worst team in the league, Houston Texans, on Sunday. They had to get a last second touchdown with less than a minute to go to beat them 27-23. They were down 3 with under a minute left, and they had to drive down in the red zone. They scored a touchdown at the end to beat them. That was the Cowboys' 10th win. The Cowboys are one game better, 10-3. The Ravens 9-4. Yes, different conferences, but I bring it up to say this. The Ravens, yeah, they're up 16-7. We know it. The Steelers went down and scored a touchdown real quick. But look, Ravens got the ball back, did their business. The game is over. The Ravens won by 2. The Cowboys won their game by 4. We played the Steelers, who were up and coming. They were winning some football games. It was the rivalry, heated rivalry, divisional game. We had to put them down. It all counts the same. There's context in the game, right? We could talk about it. That's why we talk about break it down and criticize and praise. And it's why we do shows, right? It's fun to talk about the ins and outs and the X's and O's of the game. But the fact of the matter is, we hear the Ravens in postgame all the time. They get the game balls and the players raise the ball and they're like, hey guys, keep stacking. It's stack season. Let's stack wins. They don't care about like, yeah, we just blew out the Steelers 55-7. It doesn't matter. We blew people out in 2019. Where did that get us? Remember how fun that was? Didn't matter. You get in the playoffs, got your teeth kicked in. Play football. Play the games. Play the guy in front of you. Again, you heard it with Dak Prescott. Bring it up for this point. He got up on the podium and the Cowboys media interviewed him, right? We saw the Cowboys play flawless football in a 33-3 win or 30-3 win against the Vikings. They beat, obviously, the Falcons and the Ravens play in a little bit, 55-21 or something, 54-19 or something crazy score like that. And, you can talk about complete games all the time. But it doesn't matter. We talk about it. Whether you win by 40, win by 2, win by 10, it counts the same. It's a win in the win column. Ravens have 9 of them. You look at the AFC conference, they're the 3rd seed right now, and the Bills and the Chiefs are 10-3. Yes, the Bills hold the tiebreaker, but look, the Ravens are one game worse than the best team in their whole conference. Pretty awesome, considering the makeup of the team, the injuries, the subpar play, all the complaining that we've done over the weeks. They put it together, and if it wasn't for a blunder, we could talk about the other 3 losses before, but if we focus on the latest loss, which is the Jaguars game, they don't lose into Jacksonville and they hold serve. The Ravens have won 7 straight games, maybe 10-3. Think about that for a minute. Like, and we can even, again, we can smack this all day long, smack this around all day long about what it should have, could have. Yeah, they could be undefeated because they held leads in these games and all that. And they got 4 losses. But, Brendan, the Ravens are 9-4, tied with the Bengals. They hold serve with the lead with the tiebreaker of that head-to-head matchup. But you got to feel good. Now, with the injuries, it does make you feel uneasy because, look, Lamar's out 1-3. That's your starter. Obviously, considering the flaws in his subpar play, yeah, you want him out there. No disrespect to Brown or Huntley. They're backups. You want 8 in if healthy. Gives you the best chance, right? And folks could counter that argument, right? Huntley moved the ball against the Broncos, and we've seen that with the post-injury, right? And he was making some throws prior to his injury. But, look, the fact remains is, and I want to help you out here because I can't remember what the highlight, the injury to the Huntley, was that a quarterback scramble to avoid pressure and he was trying to gain yards? Was that a designed run? Because at first, I was frustrated when it happened because I'm like, look, you have JK and Gus running the ball. Why is the quarterback even trying to run it at that point? But I got to go back and understand if it was even designed or not. But you can't, your quarterback should, when you have running backs like that at a 1-2 punch, your quarterback shouldn't be running it regardless. Scrambling, getting yards is one thing. If that's the only thing that's left in a passing situation and you're getting under pressure, right, maybe throw it away. I know gaining positive yards, but I'd rather see the quarterbacks upright and healthy than try to gain a few yards or get a first down, hand it off to your guys or throw it away, and let's play another down or play another series. Because these quarterbacks are getting few and far between across the league. It's happening often. Look in the Steelers game, for that matter, both starters got knocked out. The Steelers are on their second string and we're on our third string. And you have to give credits to Anthony Brown came in and managed the game. You had to feel a little uneasy, right? He comes in, they're buried deep in their territory. They get out of it. He managed.
We were on the one, weren't we? We were on the
right,
1 yard
yeah,
line.
Yeah, we're like buried inside the five. Like I'm like already like, oh, this is going to be a safety. This is going to be three and out. Like you had to feel doom and gloom, right? You're already thinking about all the negatives, like backups in, Huntley's out, and then you almost can't really relax watching the games. All you can think about is like, who's going to quarterback the team over down the stretch? Lamar's 1 to 3 weeks. Huntley's a concussion protocol. They play a short week on the road. Like you're automatically thinking like, how are they going to get away with this? Like, but they handed off their workhorses and the defense went to work. Now, I don't want to go this far, but you had to feel it was rigged a little bit, right? You know, at the end of the game, fourth quarter, especially. Ravens weren't getting calls. It was all going Steelers' way, especially, look, we know Marcus Peters is not as sharp as he used to be, especially this year for some reason. But, look, Deontay Johnson did push off on that one. It was OPI. He complained about it. We get it. But it just seemed like it was going that way. You know, the Ravens were getting holding and interference calls, and Steelers aren't right down the field and scored. The Achilles heel for this team is that when they get in that hurry-up offense at the end of the game, especially in the two-minute warning at the end of the game, whatever this defensive scheme is, like the front seven hold serve, but that secondary, man, it's they don't like to cover in these high pressure quick situations. It's a little alarming that they let these guys go right down the field. But look, yeah, the Steelers pulled it, went into, they kicked the ball off. The Ravens did what they did. They made the Steelers use their final two timeouts, 2 minute warning. I said first down, the game's over, 2 minute warning, do the math. 40 second play clock, three plays, there's 120 seconds, 2 minutes on the clock. They come out of two-minute warning, it's Vicky formation. You know, as soon as they got one first down, game was over. And the way they're running the ball, I wasn't worried at all because you knew they weren't passing. And when the running game's so good, because the passing game is so bad, schematically, systematically, I heard Dan Orlovsky say it today, the passing game is fundamentally flawed, and it is. He broke down on film. I don't know if you saw it, man. It's been shared on the socials too. It's perfect. The Ravens bunch everybody on like one side of the field in the spacing. It's like they're all within like 6-7 yards of each other. I'm like, how can you have an accurate passing game and something that can work? And he brought up a good point too with it, because the Ravens' biggest flaw is their passing game. Let's call it what it is. Can you trust this team if they get down to playoffs 10, 14, 17 points? They would have to pass the ball to come back. They can't just run the football 200-300 yards on this team to come back. If they get down, can you trust this team in the stretch run here in December and going into January, especially trying to get an AFC North crown and maybe even getting the playoffs, and whether they get the crown or the secure wild card spot, you know, whether it's a divisional game at home or they have to go on the wild card on the road, they're one of these seven teams in. You're right. Are they going to go one and done, or how confident are you getting there? But look, at the end of the day, you kind of like your Ravens' chances in a dogfight over any game because of the way they're playing defense, the guys are getting healthier, and the way they're running the football. If they keep this formula, who's to say they can't be in these games, especially if it's a one-score game either way? So let's worry about that, you know, a little bit later when we get – they got 3 out of 4 left against the division. But look, the 3-0 in the North, the 9-4, sitting pretty up top. You got to love it. And having a win against the towel twirlers is awesome. And just – dude, it was just fantastic, man. To win against your rival like that on the road, getting these guys a first taste of steel, it's momentum, man. You put them to rest. You know, they're pretty much barely alive in the race as it is, and gotta love it, man. I mean, there's a lot to be worried about, especially with the injuries, but, you know, what's good is good is, yes, Huntley's still concussion protocol, but apparently he was limited in practice in a walkthrough session earlier this week, so good sign heading into Saturday, right? But who knows? If it's Anthony Brown for the Ravens against the Cleveland Browns, are you – I mean, you have to feel concerned, right? You're on your third string here in a road game, divisional game in December, meaningful football. But with the way Cleveland's playing lately, obviously this is our first look at Deshaun Watson, him coming back off of, you know, that whole mess. But they haven't been letting up either with Deshaun under center. So with the Ravens having one of the best units right now in football, not the best. Notice I said one of the best because they're tops in certain categories. You have to feel good about your chances stopping out Nick Chubb because, look, the Ravens have a new streak going. I don't know if you realize this. Sunday was the 22nd consecutive game, if I remember correctly, that they have allowed a 100-yard rusher. The last time they did it was like 2020, I think it was, maybe. It's like 20 games, or maybe 2021, something. Yeah, it's like 20 games, and you have to feel good. And with the addition of Roquan and all that, the guys up front, they're doing a bang-up job. The Ravens are allowing less than 3 yards per rush, a game. So it's pretty incredible. So going into the focal point on the Saturday, Nick Chubb, right, throws to the offense, the running game, their passing game struggling as far as the Ravens. It's kind of a mirror thing there on offense. So keys to the game is simple. You know, you stop the ground game with Nick Chubb. You make it a passing attack with Deshaun and make him try to beat you. And I think I like the Ravens' chance, especially, yeah, the secondary is weak, but I think I like their matchup this Saturday against the Cleveland Browns, man. I certainly like it. I really feel confident.
Yeah, we've got Saturday midday football. The good news is it looks like Tyler Huntley was a full participant on Wednesday's practice. So while he was in concussion protocol, I believe he still is in concussion protocol. He at least got to practice all the way through.
That hit was vicious, man. I thought he rolled his bottom leg.
No, I knew immediately.
I'm like, oh, he's got a torn leg. Like, I've already was thinking he was out for the year. Like, I didn't know it was going to be a concussion. I thought he, like, twerked his lower body a little bit.
Now, even before they did the replay with the slow motion, I saw his head whiplash backwards, and I went, well, he's out for the rest of the game. That's a concussion. I mean, I spotted that a mile away. If you were on Discord, if you were on our Discord, discord.gg/thecallpodcast, I was live chatting on the game as it was happening, and I said, well, that's a concussion. He's out the rest of the game. It was zero doubt in my mind. Before he even got into the blue tent or went down the hallway, I'm like, that's a concussion. They're going to be extra special and extra careful, take care of him, and he's out of the game. I knew it. So it looks like whatever protocols they have in the way right now, it looks like he has passed them because they're allowing him to practice at least. So all signs point to Tyler Huntley being QB1 going into Saturday. Still no sign of Lamar Jackson. This is the fifth practice he has now missed. So hopefully he's just resting up. But you do have to wonder if he's out 3 weeks, say he misses the Christmas Eve game, so he's coming back on New Year's against the Steelers. Is he going to be at 100%? Is he going to have some rust that he's going to have to work off, some field rust just because he hasn't been playing? We'll see. Will we even see him against the Steelers? If it is such a hard-hitting game, do you want a guy who's not 100% out there? You've already beaten the Steelers once with your QB3. Maybe you go with that formula again. So I don't know what their plan is. But right now it looks like Tyler Huntley is the number one guy, which is good. I think of the little bit that we did get to see of him, I thought he did perform as well as a QB2 would perform, I guess I should say. So he's throwing passes with his helmet today on Wednesday. He was a limited participant on Tuesday. It's weird because normally, like, Wednesday is the first practice, but because this is a Saturday game, everything got moved up. Do you think that does anything to the players? Do you think having a Saturday game kind of throws off their routine a little bit? Do you think that's going to be any kind of effect on the game at all?
Well, you would think a little bit, because you always hear the players talk about routine, right? When you're in that clockwork mode, especially if your every game is seasons at 1 o'clock kickoff, you know, and you don't have to travel much. I mean, with traveling and where the teams are, like East Coast, you know, West Coast, Central, you know, all those time zones difference, you know. Yeah, I mean, different days, it bodes well, right? You know, the Ravens play a short week, and they got to travel. So you figured, yeah, Cleveland and Pittsburgh aren't that far away, but it's still on the road, right? It isn't like these Ravens are playing back-to-back home games, whether it's a Sunday, Saturday, Thursday kind of deal, whatever it is. But, yeah, short week, you lose a day. So everything's moved up. So you probably lose, you know, they might not get a day off. They might have to, you get half a day or might not. They have to move everything up. So their, you know, typical week, you know, the Ravens do practices on Monday. Obviously, Tuesdays are usually their off day. They get back at it Wednesday. Injury report gets released on Friday for the whole weekend. They don't, and then they do what they do on Saturday and then game time on Sunday. So now it's moved up and they have to travel to Cleveland. They're probably got to travel on Friday instead of Saturday. Now, depending if they're going to be traveling the day of sleeping overnight on Friday, who knows? I don't know their itinerary, but yeah, that certainly plays a part in the routine and also the health of the team, you know, getting guys on the mend and you have one less day of the week to get ready. But then on the flip side, you know, with them playing back-to-back Saturday games, because they play the following Saturday at home on Christmas Eve, that's the full week. They play at 4 o'clock on this Saturday in Cleveland. They come home, obviously Sunday. Then they play, you got six, you know, full days before you play your next game and you're at home on 1 o'clock bout. And then you go on the road and then you stay home against Pittsburgh and you get the extra day because not only you play on Saturday, then you play the following Sunday on New Year's Day at home still. So yeah, they lose a day, but then you figure the next couple weeks, like I alluded to, it's a normal week and then they get the extra day. So it balances out. It was no different with the Thursday night situation, right? And look, they got through that, but a 4-game winning streak. They traveled on the road twice and then had that long break and then they had to buy and they come home and we know how it went. They looked anemic and went, went downhill on offense real quick. But look, I love their chances on Saturday. I certainly think the Ravens are going to post up the 10th win in Cleveland, get 4-0 division, which is awesome. The Cleveland Browns are reeling a little bit, and I certainly think the Ravens are prepared. Now, I think they're prepared even with a Tyler Huntley or an Anthony Brown. Still think this Ravens team is well far equipped to handle business in Cleveland on Saturday. Yeah, you want Lamar there, but look, if they can keep stacking wins with these backups in there, it doesn't have the same feels last year, does it? Remember, Lamar goes out, Huntley comes over, takes in. Yeah, he won in Chicago, but that was about it. Ravens are 8-3 and didn't win another game the rest of the year. Look, Huntley comes in, does formidable, gets hurt. They were still had the lead when he got hurt. Anthony Brown comes in, and they still won the game. The Ravens went wire the wire. The Steelers never led on Sunday. You have to remember that. Ravens went out the game 10-0. You had to feel like it was an awesome day. It's going to probably be the same feeling in Cleveland. They're going to come out. You know, Cleveland's one of the worst teams running defensively against running the football. I think they're like 30th or 31st in the league. They're really in the bottom five of run defense. The Ravens boast one of the best run defense, not the best run defense, probably other than what maybe San Francisco. Nick Chubb, again, it's going to be the running game. Can the Ravens run the ball like they did against Pittsburgh, against Cleveland? And can they stop the run with Nick Chubb on Sunday? And I feel like they do that and have that same formula, create turnovers. And it's going to be interesting because, hey, they get Deshaun's head real early. I think it might be over quick. This might be a lot less closer than you might think, but it's still an AFC North bout, still the Cleveland Browns, and there is an unknown because the Ravens have had success against Deshaun Watson, you know, a few years ago, right? But, you know, him being out so long with all those side antics, he hasn't looked sharp since coming back, my friend. I mean, obviously, I felt like Jacoby Brissett was the better quarterback, should have stayed with him maybe, but look, we know the situation, right? And it bleeds into the Ravens situation with Lamar in the contract. They paid him. They don't matter how bad he is. They're stuck. They got to throw him out there. So, I'm all for it because he hasn't looked the sharpest tool in the shed, and I'm excited. I think this Ravens team is, again, they're getting healthier, and if this team can just stay healthy this down the stretch, dude, take care of business in Cleveland. Got a home situation with the Falcons on Christmas Eve, and apparently that's going to be a rookie quarterback they might be facing at home. Should be fired up. I'm hoping a lot of fans make it, even though it's the holiday season. And
they're giving away a poster, it seems. So they're getting something for coming to the game.
Hey, something. Hey, it's Christmas Eve, man. Treat everybody some Ravens tickets, and hopefully you're gifting some tickets out there. Mine are available for that day game. Little shameless plug there, but I'm still going. I am not still going to the Christmas Eve game, but I got a seat upgrade, so I'll be sitting low. But my tickets are available. Putting that out in the show there. Little shameless plug. I did post on the socials, but if you're looking for an extra Christmas gift there, my pair is up for grabs. So inquire within. Hit us up on the call Facebook or maybe hit me up personally. It's okay. But, yeah, I can't wait to this Cleveland game on Saturday, man. It's going to be one. And, again, like you said, It's the second of the triple header feature on Saturday. Apparently, it's called the Saturday Showdown for the NFL. Yeah, we're one of three games. You know, the Vikings and Colts kick it off Sunday at 1, or no, Saturday at 1, I should say. Sorry, it's not – get used to these Saturday games. It wasn't like the COVID year where we played, like, every day of the week, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the Ravens have the 4 o'clock bout, and then we get treated with another divisional matchup with the Dolphins and Bills, and apparently there's snow in the forecast up Buffalo, so it's going to be fun Saturday.
Well, let me say, if you are local in Baltimore, I really hope you're going to be watching the Ravens game and then watching the Capitals game on Saturday at 7 o'clock because Ovechkin just got 800 goals, and that means he is one away from tying Gordie Howe, two away from becoming the number two all-time goals in the NHL, one behind that, the great one.
Hat trick to get 800, that was insane.
It was a great game to watch, and man, got to give it up to the Chicago Blackhawks. When Ovi got his 800th goal, they had a graphic ready for it on their own Jumbotron. They know how big of a deal it is. They put the opponent's face up on their own Jumbotron.
All-time great, man. How can you not pay homage to him? I mean, exactly. Doesn't matter, bad blood aside or not. And you can catch all the action on your other show, What the Puck, right?
That's right. So definitely check it out. But there's going to be some history made in the next couple Capitals games because Ovechkin becoming the number two.
Saturday heading to the Christmas weekend. Or Christmas.
That's right.
You know, get the Ravens dub, get to see Ovi maybe get a few more goals on Saturday night. And then, hey, if you're one of the guys that I know out there, you got multiple TVs at home, you can partake in both. Or like me, you can stream one game on your iPad and watch the other game on a TV. There's so many options now, so many multiple today, or go out to a sports bar and you got it made. Put one game on one game on the other, you're good to go. So that's going to be a great weekend. And then we got the rest of the NFL on Sunday, and then we have a Monday night game. So it's here, man. It's gearing up. It's, you know, it's fantasy and reality. It's fantasy playoff season. Fantasy playoffs start this weekend, and right here at the NFL, 4 weeks to go. A lot to be settled in the playoff races. And again, I think Ravens are certainly primed for the win on Saturday. I'm going to call right now 24-10 win against the Browns.
Wow. So you're saying 24-10. So you really think the secondary can hold up if they force Deshaun Watson to throw the ball, that the Browns aren't going to embarrass Marcus Peter and Marlon Humphrey again?
I think so. Look, they're not going to have a perfect game. They're going to give up plays.
Sure.
They're probably going to have lapses in coverage. But I certainly feel confident, and I feel confident because I feel wholeheartedly they're going to shut down Nick Chubb. I don't see it. I mean, look, they have this streak going with the 100-yard rushers. You know, the Ravens are really strong up front. They're starting to get more pressure on the quarterbacks. I mean, there was a lot of quarterbacks coming through. Not quarterbacks. There was a lot of – I think Patrick Queen shot through untouched on one of those blitzes to get – I can't remember if it was Mr. Trubisky or Kenny Pickett under center of that game. But I just feel like – they can put the pressure on the Browns. And if it becomes a one-dimensional and you have to force Deshaun to throw it, what I've seen already in the sample size with the Cleveland Browns and their highlights and throwing the football, and the way with Marcus Williams back and the way Chuck Clark's playing, dude, the Ravens are going to get their hands on the football.
Dude, how good is Marcus Williams? My God, how awesome is that guy?
I don't think we would have lost any of these games.
Uh-huh.
I'm telling you, that was the X factor. When he went down, I slammed my hand on that seat so hard. I'm like, dude, that was a huge loss. I already knew he was a great addition in the offseason, and you see it. X factor. Comes right in, gets the interception. First game back, bro. Like, he got the game ball. And telling you, yeah, and he boosts the secondary. Yes, they got their problems. Marlon, Peters, step it up. But, look, I'm excited, and I think they have the unit to get it done. And it's fixable mistakes, you know. But we've seen this week in, week out. You know, Peters hasn't been up to snuff. Marlon's been up and down. He's still a shut down corner when it's on the line, but you got to still play tighter. And some of these schemes that I've seen, especially when it's the hurry up offense, I'm a little worried and skeptical, but yes, to answer your point long-windedly, yeah, I have faith in the Ravens to hold up against the passing attack. And I think they have the better playmakers for sure. I mean, we know Myles Garrett's on the other side, and that's a matchup to watch. Myles Garrett on that pass rush against the Ravens front and their offensive line, see what they can do blocking wise, because we know was the frustration against the Broncos. How many times we've seen the Ravens quarterback scramble because they couldn't hold the pocket and block and hold their assignments. So the blocking was way better against the Steelers, who were a better defense, in my opinion. They had TJ Watt back, obviously not the sack, but look, secondary aside, how good is the defense when two of the linebackers are getting picks and they're dropping back in coverage? So yeah, it could be a testament to how bad Mr. Trubisky is, but look, still got to make the plays and the Ravens picked them off. And they did it three times on Sunday. So I certainly think it could be another afternoon of multiple turnovers for the Ravens defense to force. And if the Ravens take care of the football, control the time of possession, and run the football like they're doing, who's to say they can't take care of business, bro? I think it's certainly within reach. It's not far-fetched to say. Again, you want Tyler Huntley healthy for sure. Let's stack wins and maybe get Lamar back for that run, right? But, you know, I just hope they can all around play a little better cohesively on the team as a whole. But we haven't seen that complete. To me, even though they have 9 wins, I really – correct me if I'm wrong, but I haven't seen a complete win of this team yet this year where it's like they were firing all cylinders. Like the defense was flying around. The offense was scoring a lot of points. Like, yeah, Lamar had 5 total touchdowns against the Patriots way back in week 3, but – they also gave up almost near 30 points on defense too. Like, and they had to come from behind. The Patriots had a lead in that game, believe it or not. So it wasn't like, you know, the Ravens went wire to wire in one of these wins. And it's always been one aspect, like the Steelers game. They ran the crap out of the football. They played defense, but the passing game was lackluster. And there was a few plays up in the field and, you know, but they just haven't done it yet. And I haven't seen that complete win. So, but look, they got 9 of them. They're on a good pace to win maybe 10, 11, maybe 12 games. Hey, they win 3 out of 4 of these games, virtual lock for the playoffs, depending on how the AFC stacks up. Look, 11, 12, 13 wins are going to get you there. And, you know, they're 9-4 with 4 to play. I call it they'd be 12-5 at the end of the season. They're right there. They go 3-1 and on the stretch, and they're 12-5. So it's within reach. And I think it certainly get it done again with another win. And look, the Ravens have won 6 out of the last 7 games, if you remember. Like, that's pretty awesome. So they're winning games despite there are many, many flaws and very few bright spots. But, hey, they're 9-4 in AFC North leaders, and you're in mid-December leading your division. Hey, that's something to be excited about. Like, we get it. They're flawed, but, dude, they're winning. And we keep saying it. They're winning despite these flaws. They might not make a deep postseason run, especially against the Juggernauts. But look, play the games, get healthy, and then let's see who's who.
I got to say, I think
like worried a little bit. I understand. I'm a little worried because I just don't think they're built to make that deep run. Hope they prove me wrong.
Yeah.
But hey, as a fan, I want the home playoff game. I want to go. I want to say we're division champs. Hey, the Bengals are defending division champs and the AFC champions. I want to knock them off. I want to be Kings of North, you know, and let's do it. You know, just because they're flawed don't mean I hate these fans. They're flawed. It's like, well, I don't deserve the playoffs. What do you mean they don't deserve the playoffs? I got in my fantasy playoffs at 7-7. You don't think I deserve to be in there? Like, come on, man. I mean, I know fantasy versus reality, but let's call it what it is. There's going to be an NFC South team that's probably going to be sub-500 and get a home playoff game in the playoffs. So don't come at me. Enjoy it while you can. You know, the Ravens are 9-4. Enjoy it. But yes, you can certainly enjoy it, but be skeptical and have the concerns you do. And they are flawed. But they're winning. They're not 4-9, and the flaws are showing. They're 9-4, flip side. So take it for what it's worth. They're holding serve in the North, and let's see what happens.
I guess I got to say, the game I thought like this was a team effort the most was the Dolphins game, and that was a loss. Like, for the first 45 minutes of the play on the field, I was like, yeah, this team's unbeatable. And then the wheels kind of came off at the end. So if we can get back to that type of football, like, take the first 45 minutes of the Dolphins game and then maybe 15 of the Steelers game that we just saw, that could be a full team win. That could be that could be a real recipe for success. So let's see what happens down the road. I am confident that this team can beat the Browns, because we've said it many times, especially when they got Roquan Smith. Defense wins championships, and I think that we do have a good defense. The secondary, yes.
All day.
Secondary still is suspect. Marlon Humphrey definitely needs to be sharper. Marcus Peters, I don't know what he's doing this year. But Patrick Queen has improved so much because of Roquan Smith being on this team. I think that he doesn't have as much pressure on him, so he actually can focus a little bit more on the game in front of him. He was on Good Morning Football on Wednesday morning. Like, is Patrick Queen getting on Good Morning Football earlier in this season? I don't think so. So it is great to see the pass rush is doing its thing. I mean, Calais Campbell put his big bear paw up and blocked a field goal attempt. I mean, this is the kind of stuff you want to see in December. This is important to get you into the postseason. What happens in the postseason, we'll cover that in January. But you got to get there first. You got to get those W's first to get into the postseason. Don't always think of the destination. Think of the road on the way there. So looking forward.
Philosophical. Look at you.
I try, man. It's late. You know, I'm just making stuff up now.
Full heart. You should be a coach. Get all fired up. I get you. I see you. All right.
Yeah, let's get Coach Taylor here. Let's get Ray Lewis and Coach Taylor on like an inspirational speech off.
If you didn't know the whole.
What's that?
Ray Lewis is coaching.
Is he really? I didn't know that.
I don't know if it wouldn't call it coaching. Apparently, he's been selected as the defensive coordinator in the flag football Pro Bowl thingy.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
So it'd be fun to see him back out on the sidelines chirping people.
Yeah. All right. So I think the Ravens will come away with a win. I do see that happening in Cleveland. I'm going to say – what was your score? Did you say 17-10, 27-10? What was it?
24-10.
I knew it was 10. I'm going to go 17-10 then. That's what I think. I'll put that on my DraftKings parlay. That's what I'll be betting on this week, 17-10. Josh, we're all new to this mobile betting thing here in Maryland. We're still getting used to it, but one thing we're not used to is doing this call episode. Josh, have we covered everything for this episode of the call?
Yeah, man. A lot of action, a lot of coverage, but at the end of the day, I think it's settled. How about it? Let's close it out. Quote the Raven, never moan.
All right, guys. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at Italian GQ52, and always find us on the Call Facebook page and our Discord.
That's right. Check out us over on Discord, discord.gg/thecallpodcast. Make sure you join our server, join our game day chat. Have some fun with us. People from all over the world are enjoying the Discord. It's been a lot of fun to do that this season. Now we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, rate us over on Spotify, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok and Discord and Hive. You know, if you're a Maryland State employee, you can't tell people on TikTok because that's not allowed. That got banned. Yeah. But check it out. Tell everybody. I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to the call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, we're going to Cleveland. We're going to the Christmas Story House. It's up for sale. Let's go buy it.
Are you buying it?
I want to.
The movie, The Christmas Story, Christmas.
I did watch that one. Everyone was saying, oh my God, it's terrible. It's horrible. I didn't mind it. Like, I thought I watched that and I watched Spirited, the Ryan Reynolds, Will Ferrell movie. And I liked A Christmas Story Christmas more than I like Spirited. Spirited was a good soundtrack. I'll give it that. But Christmas Story Christmas wasn't as bad as everybody was saying. Like, I'm glad I didn't pay for it in theaters, but it was still really enjoyable. I liked it. You can check it out on HBO Max. I dug it. But
nah, we'll save it for the Christmas week next week. So I was gonna say, like, what's your favorite Christmas movie? We probably know it's probably A Christmas Story because you rave about that house all the time and the lamp but we'll save all of our Christmas festivities for next week. How's that? Because we can really but let's save it for next week when we're leading up to a Christmas Eve matchup. How's that?
Sounds good to me.
It's next weekend.
It's crazy, dude. This year has flown by.
Less than 2 weeks away.
Yeah. All right, Josh. What's that? Am I done shopping?
We need to link up for our annual little thing, dude.
I was gonna bring that up after we get done recording. When we got to do it?
We'll talk offline. How's that?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll take us out like we always do. Let's get to it. Traveling to the Factory of Sadness. We love it. The week before Christmas, we can call it the nightmare before Christmas for Cleveland, because it's truly a nightmare they're living. They got to pay all that money to that guy, and that guy ain't playing good. And we know Cleveland Ravens, they go way back. The Art Modell story and all that. I really can't wait. Speaking of, before I close this out, I read, remember Bill Belichick used to be on the Cleveland Browns staff before they got moved, right?
Right.
And did you hear a story? Apparently, Bill Belichick had some a little hatred set aside for Art Modell. He said he hated Art Modell so much that when he coached the Pro Bowl team, he put Peter Bowlegger on the Pro Bowl roster just so Art Modell had to pay him his $1 million Pro Bowl bonus. That was a pretty funny story. I'm like, look, I thought it was funny. You know, I thought that was pretty shiesty, and then, you know, a little Bill Belichick-y of him. But that, I just thought that it just added something to the rivalry, right? Like, oh, here we go. But we love it. You know, the Cleveland, it's just another fierce rivalry. You got Ravens Steelers, and then we go right into it. A road game, but another rival, Cleveland Browns. You can call them the Brownies, call them the Cleveland Clowns. Factory of Sadness, doesn't matter, because you know what it's going to be? It's going to be another AFC North war is what it's going to be up there on the league. Can't wait to get it started. Got it. 4 o'clock on a Saturday. You know, the second billing on a triple header on your Saturday showdown for the NFL. You can find the game on NFL Network nationally and locally. Check your listings, but it's going to be a war. Let's get it. Let's travel to the Factory of Sadness, and let's take number 10. How about it, Ravens? Are you with me? Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.